AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Tom Rivers. On the attack, Republican presidential hopefuls debated last night without former President Trump. The GOP frontrunner skipped the stage, leaving the others to fight it out amongst themselves.
With the exception of Chris Christie and Ron DeSantis, most of the candidates avoided talking about the elephant who was not in the room, Donald Trump. He's so popular among Republican voters that attacking him can be risky. The University of Michigan director of debate, Aaron Call, who was here, says if the other candidates want to have any chance of gaining on Trump, they've got to take him on, which they seem afraid to do.
They need to realize that the target is the frontrunner that's not here, that's ahead by 30 to 40 points.
Alex Stone, ABC News at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California.
Later today, Republicans on Capitol Hill hold the opening hearing of their impeachment inquiry against President Biden. And no big winner in last night's Powerball jackpot. Prize now grows to more than $925 million. This is ABC News. More than 50 people arrested after a looting spree this week in Philadelphia. Police are looking for more suspects.
The Philadelphia Police Department is scouring social media videos, searching for suspects after a night of looting by criminals who police say took advantage of peaceful protests.
There was a burglar. They looted the store at Lululemon.
A coordinated caravan of vehicles going from store to store, looting businesses in multiple neighborhoods over an eight-hour period.
ABC Stephanie Ramos, one of those busted, a social media influencer now facing charges of criminal conspiracy and criminal mischief. Days after the Senate's dress code was relaxed, apparently to benefit Pennsylvania's John Fetterman, it's changing again. He prefers to wear hoodies and shorts, but senators voting to reinstate the rules requiring business attire. And Bruce Springsteen, still recovering from peptic ulcer disease and forced to cancel the rest of his tour dates this year. I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Tom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip with the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Quite literally, hey there. It's Thursday, September 28th, another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app, podcast, social media. Nice to have you here. We will unpack the news in just a bit, but first I have to tell Sam why you got an extra hey there. It finally happened.
I was so
distracted working in another window, writing something. And, of course, I didn't resize my windows and tabs, so I wasn't looking at the clock. And I'm just in the middle of a sentence, and I hear the theme song start. And I'm just like, the bus is at the bus stop. You better get down there, or it's going to leave without you. So
time to break into a full sprint.
Yeah, so I quickly sprinted to resize those windows, and now I can see you and wish everybody good morning. So here, you figure vacation brain is a real thing. And I am already, you know, on a road trip, but we will... I'll try to behave myself for the next, 1 hour and 53 minutes. And then you've got, Todd Alba in tomorrow, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Excited for that.
Chad Holmes for some of the days next week. Todd Alba for some of the other days.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, the listener, through now 204 shows, deserve more than reruns. Not that the shows aren't worth running again, but everybody likes live radio, right? And, you know. We could just turn it over to Sam for 2 hours. I know you would fill it admirably, but, you know, if we can get you one of the other people who yap for a living, you know, whether it's Todd or Chad, why not, right? So I hope it goes well. Take good notes for me, would you?
Sure, will do.
Or y'all agree. Just tell him nothing happened. It's like the Jimmy Buffett
song,
Gypsies
in
the Palace.
Everything went perfectly fine. Nothing bad happened, Pat.
We whacked your car, we raked and mowed the lawn. We couldn't find enough to do in the short time you were gone, Jimmy likes to sing. Coming up today, we will have more about yesterday's two-ring circus, a two-stage performance by Republicans in Michigan, where the candidates not named Donald Trump shouted over each other in a quote-unquote debate, and the former president bashed unions at a non-union shop as a way to appeal to union voters. In our second hour, the healing power of music from Dr. Kristen Lyerly and one of her guests. Another guest of hers is a physician who wrote an opinion column this week urging the employers of physicians to loosen up restrictions so that their providers can be more public about the political attacks against people's healthcare rights. So we've got that coming up in our second hour. We'll also have the weatherology forecast with meteorologist Jennifer Wuchitsky. You can be a part of it all. I promise to pay attention when we're getting a phone call in the studio by calling 844-967-2789. You actually don't even need me to pay attention. That's what Sam is here for. He will answer that phone call and help get you on the air. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you are watching the live video feed of this radio program on the Up North News Facebook page or Civic Media or a couple of other sites, put your comment right there on Facebook. We'll see it, maybe put it up on screen and talk about it as well. The Up North News Daily newsletter comes out every weekday morning about 5 o'clock or so. Christina Laurie puts that together. And just looking through it right now, she has a review of the Big Ten revenue machines behind each football program because, those football programs bring a lot in to each Big Ten university. And she tells you where Wisconsin ranks on that list. A Wisconsin woman is on tonight's premiere of ABC's The Golden Bachelor. We've got a rundown of some of the weekend festivals and events around the state. And a new artisan cheese festival is starting up this weekend. And Christina writes about that in the newsletter. Again, you can sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. 6 a.m. temperatures around Wisconsin right now include 61 degrees. Here on Lake Wissota, Madison reporting 62, Waukesha at 59, La Crosse 63 degrees, Wausau 58, Wisconsin Rapids 59, Green Bay 61, and Hayward 59, with an apparent big warm-up on the way with some temperatures in the 80s, maybe making one final comeback to Wisconsin. And that would be very welcome. I mowed the lawn for what I hope is the last time, now that we finally got some good rain last weekend. It grew very quickly. It was in that, baling phase, and I don't have a baler, so I just had to go over it, multiple times to, keep it from clumping up. And also chew up all the leaves. We've got a mulching blade on our riding tractor. And so basically by the time I'm done, the backyard just looks like you poured, a truckload of Kellogg's cornflakes on it. But it does make it a lot easier to get that into the soil and work out well for everybody involved. Let's go ahead and cover the Brewers right now, simply because, again, the regular season is, now it's all pro forma at this point for the Brewers. They've clinched the division title. So they did beat the Cardinals 3-2 in a game where the lineup was juggled around to rest up some players, keep some others loose. Starter Wade Miley allowed one run in five innings of work. Miley finished the season 9-4 with a 3.14 ERA and 23 starts. Tyrone Taylor doubled twice, drove in a run. Catcher William Contreras, one of the Brewers' regulars who did play, doubled and scored to extend a stretch in which he's reached safely in 34 out of his past 35 games. The series wraps up this afternoon at 3:10. Then the Chicago Cubs come to town tomorrow night. They are still trying to secure a playoff spot. They are tied with Miami for that third and final wild card. And if they wrap that up, then they will play the Brewers next week in the wild card round of the playoffs. All right, stick around. We're going to unpack the news, starting with the Republican debate after this. You're up north.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different. But you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
We'll get the coverage of the debate in just a moment, but first I have to confess to Sam another mistake with vacation brain going on. I should be in green and gold right now. The Packers play tonight.
Yeah, I know.
They are hosting the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field, and I thought, oh, I'll just go get my, you know, I got a flannel shirt on. It's blue and black and white. I've got one that's green and gold.
You have a green and gold flannel?
I have a green and gold flannel. Did you see how I walked away during the one commercial break? I was going to go grab that quick. Then I realized I'd already packed it. It's already deep within my duffel bag because I was going to think about wearing it, you know, Sunday, but the Packers don't play Sunday. When they play next after tonight will be a Monday night game, October 9th, our first day back here. So I'll actually be able to wear it. So I've got this green and gold shirt packed away that I'm not going to need to wear while I'm there. So if I'm gone for an extended period for one of the next commercial breaks, I might be digging it out. But quick reminder, do you have Amazon Prime?
My parents do, I think.
There you go. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Okay, of course you do. It's just very important to note that if you don't have Amazon Prime, and if you're not in Milwaukee or Green Bay, where the game will be on local TV, but anywhere else in Wisconsin, just bear in mind you might be going to a bar, and I know we've had this problem already so far this year, where you go there and some poor bartender, you know, the owner didn't tell him or her if they do or don't have Prime, how to find it on the TV. So you definitely want to check that out ahead of time. That can be very frustrating.
Yeah.
It was the same with the Brewers on when they were on Peacock or on Apple TV. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get now. And, you know, Sam, I know Civic Media isn't giving you Powerball wages, so I don't imagine you have all of those streaming services.
No, I the only one that I actually pay for, I think, is Hulu. Everything else, I just am like borrowing other people's accounts.
There's one other big sports note here, and I talked to Joe Zepecki earlier, and he seems to be the only one who's leery about this. And by my own admission, I'm no big basketball fan, but I'm sure you have heard about the Bucks acquiring Damian Lillard in exchange for Jrue Holiday, part of a three-team deal. And I just don't know enough to have a reaction on it. I know some people are very excited. Joe's a little hesitant. I don't know if you or anybody down at Radio World has been talking about this yet.
I would not be the person to talk to. I don't know much at all about basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look, clearly this guy is so elite. He was selected to the NBA's 75th anniversary team. So, I mean, he is a seven-time All-Star. But from what I'm gleaming from the social media traffic, it's that in giving up Jrue Holiday, there's now going to be some shortcomings on defense. That Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo are going to be just a force on offense, but will they have the defense to back it up? And that's the question, I guess. That's an open one. But it certainly is getting a lot of attention around Bucks world, as it were. All right, now let's jump into unpacking the news. As always, you can offer up your own comments, 844-967-2789. I am not going to tell you that I watched the entire Republican presidential debate. I wasn't even going to take notes, I swear. I was just, you know, buttoning things up here around the house, getting set to, you know, go to bed just a little later than my usual early bedtime. I thought I'll just make a mental note or two, and then I'll go off of, you know, some of the news coverage of it. Then they just started saying stuff that wasn't true. And I thought, I got to make a note of this. And then I needed to make a note of that. And I mean, where it started was former Vice President Mike Pence saying something along the lines of, the first thing we've got to do is repeal the Green New Deal. And I'm like, hello. The Green New Deal is not a thing that has passed. There is nothing to repeal. it's obviously it's some kind of a code phrase for anything President Biden and the Democrats have done. But the Green New Deal is an entire different package about getting to cleaner, greener energy sources, creating new jobs, all the things that the oil companies and Republicans don't want to see for the American economy. And Pence is talking about repealing something that isn't law. It's just so in his imagination. And then that was followed a couple of minutes later by former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie talking about President Biden, you know, hiding in his basement. And again, I thought, hello, do you not own a television set? Did you not see every place he hit on his Asia trip and the hours that he put in there and the diplomacy that was negotiated and the leadership shown to continue, keeping Russia at bay in Ukraine and trying to, you know, stave off bankruptcy for the country? And you're going to say he's hiding in his basement? Again, the only people who believe that are the people who want to believe it, who live in this right-wing messaging bubble. But I don't have Fox News on very much because it's not a real news network. And I was reminded why last night, just listening to that part of it. The only other note about something somebody said comes from Ron DeSantis, who rightfully called out Donald Trump, saying he should be on this stage. But the reason he called him out was a question about the deficits and the national debt and the possibility of a government shutdown as they try to cut spending. They don't spend a lot of time at all talking about how the biggest driver of the deficits, the biggest driver of debt, has been Republican presidencies and Republicans in control of Congress. No. But Ron DeSantis was saying Trump should be here because under Trump's administration, the national debt grew by $7 trillion and he should be here to defend that. And I said, no. No, he actually, in this one time, I'll say Donald Trump doesn't have to be there to defend it. All you have to say is that if you don't like the $7 trillion that got added to the national debt during the Trump administration, then just say the words, the first thing I'll do is repeal the Trump tax cuts for the very wealthy that account for $2 trillion of that. If you want to lap, if you want to lop $2 trillion off right now, get rid of those 2017 tax cuts geared toward the very, 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 very wealthy. That's all. Same goes with this weekend's government shutdown. Again, for all this talk about wanting to slash spending for a lot of things like, you know, nutrition programs and low-income schools and all of the things, you know, letting members of the military and the Border Patrol and the TSA, forcing them to work unpaid. You want to make some of that money back, then be honest and say that the tax cuts for the very wealthy are the most recent huge driver of the debt and pull them back. But instead we got, oh, just such a string of hokey applause lines where they try so hard to get the applause. They try to wrap up with some very hokey comment of, you know, we're the greatest country in the world. And just answer the question. Honestly, it's a debate. And I know I'm being a fuddy-duddy about this. But I expect in a debate that there's actually a debate, that you talk about issues and that you have rules, that you have a format. The first couple of times that the North Dakota governor, was it Doug Burgum? I always think of sorghum, but no, it's Burgum. And he would just interrupt and start talking, and the moderators would just let him. And I thought, well, what kind of a debate is this where you always just, you know, cede control to whoever shouts the loudest? And sometimes they just, all you could hear was shouting over each other, nobody standing out, the moderators not jumping in. All you could hear was border, 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 China, 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 border, border, border. And occasionally some insults thrown one way or the other. But as much as I don't normally like to engage in hyperbole, I cannot take issue with the many comments that I saw from people saying, I have been watching debates for 30 years and this was the worst. It was the worst moderated. It was the worst controlled. It was the least productive. It was the least newsworthy. And, you know, those first notes I took about what people said, I was done at 8:17. At 8:17, I no longer felt the need to write things down and respond to them the way I did with those first three things. And by 9:08, the TV was off. I would love to see the ratings for this debate. I think that they went off a cliff after the first hour. Now, there are some folks that think that Nikki Haley, the former South Carolina governor, did well for herself, continues to try to stake out something close to, you know, whatever passes for being a moderate Republican these days. Although, again, I think once you dig more deeply into her record and beliefs, you will not find somebody that is actually moderate. One of the reviews says that Vivek Ramaswamy showed a kinder, gentler side. That must have been in the second hour, because I sure didn't see it in all of his clashes and interruptions during the first hour. And I just did not see anything that says to me, this is the person, it's going to be this person and Donald Trump. If anybody at this point, if you based it just on debate performance, it would be Nikki Haley or Chris Christie. But neither one is Trumpy enough for the Trumpers. And so they're not going to probably win enough votes in New Hampshire, Iowa, or one of the other early states to become that person. Because eventually it's going to be Trump and somebody on the stage, assuming nothing else legally or otherwise happens to Trump, which is still always a possibility. But if it finally comes down to Trump and the last candidate standing, I mean, it'll get interesting for a little while. But so long as people are still willing to give Trump a pass for, you know, decades of business fraud and having a terrible record and everything else, well, he's still the front runner. He's still the candidate the other ones have to beat. He's still the one that the other candidates have to show themselves as a credible alternative to right-wing voters, as well as moderates in the general election. That's just not showing up yet. Well, while all this is going on, you've got Congress racing toward a shutdown. Most of Congress doesn't want it. There is a path out of it. Republicans and Democrats together in the U.S. Senate are crafting a continuing resolution that would prevent the government from shutting down. But House Speaker Kevin McCarthy won't bring it up, even though it would pass because it would have pretty much not all Democratic votes, but many Democratic votes and enough Republican votes. And that's called bipartisanship, and that's called keeping the government operating. That's called governing. And Kevin McCarthy does not know how to do that. Kevin McCarthy is shackled to the same anchor chain that's going to drown him, that drowned past Republican speakers who said, well, if something doesn't have a majority of my caucus, of my Republican caucus, then I'm not going to bring it up for a vote. Because he wants to be the speaker of just the Republican side of the House, apparently. And so when that happens and there's no pay for military officers, no head start for 10,000 kids across the country, no USDA loans, no food safety inspections, no disaster response, no pay for air traffic controllers, thankfully, we can express gratitude that here up north, Congressman Tom Tiffany used his time in floor remarks yesterday to defend chocolate milk against some kind of an imaginary ban that he's putting out there, saying about chocolate milk, come and take it, like somebody's going to steal his chocolate milk. That's what we've got going as millions of Americans prepare to suffer through a shutdown. More with Joe Zepecki up next. You're up north.
Summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 1215, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. On the attack, Republican presidential hopefuls debated last night without former President Trump. The GOP frontrunner skipped the stage, leaving the others to fight it out amongst themselves.
With the exception of Chris Christie and Ron DeSantis, most of the candidates avoided talking about the elephant who was not in the room, Donald Trump. He's so popular among Republican voters that attacking him can be risky. But University of Michigan Director of Debate Aaron Call, who was here, says if the other candidates want to have any chance of gaining on Trump, they've got to take him on, which they seem afraid to do.
They need to realize that the target is the frontrunner that's not here, that's ahead by 30 to 40 points.
Alex Stone, ABC News at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California.
Later today, Republicans on Capitol Hill hold the opening hearing of their impeachment inquiry against President Biden. And no big winner in last night's Powerball jackpot. Prize now grows to more than $925 million. This is ABC News.
Owning livestock can be a tricky business at times. The insurance team at Egg Country Farm Credit Services understands, which is why we work with ranchers every day to help mitigate risk. So whether you're looking for protection against price declines or loss of gross margin, Egg Country can help you. Livestock revenue protection is available for cattle, dairy, and swine. Learn more about your options by contacting your local Egg Country office.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knotel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Going to the Bavarian Beer House. You can join us there. A little politics, then Packers.
Mike and Dom bring the show to you in the Milwaukee area at the Bavarian Beer House in Glendale. Join them Thursday starting at 4 with a Packers party after the live broadcast.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local civic media radio station and the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He shouldn't even have BLTs. They're a terrible sandwich.
Oh, I love BLTs. That's
so
like
do
one,
I. That's
the one deli sandwich I could have.
Greg, don't yuck my yum, dude. I will.
We've already established on this show today that Greg is happy to judge people's yums.
Bring me your yums, for I am the yum judge.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We're back on Up North News Radio, and now that we've covered what was said on the debate stage last night, let's turn to other matters now with Joe Zepecki. And well, Joe, you know, as we first started talking, the news had been breaking about this trade for the Milwaukee Bucks, trading away Drew Holiday. Are we still in the too early to tell? This clearly caught you and a lot of Bucks fans off guard.
It really did. I am pretty shocked at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
My initial reaction is one of skepticism. I hate to see Drew Holiday go, not just because of the kind of ball player he is, but because of the type of guy he is and the commitment that he and his partner had been making to Southeastern Wisconsin. This is a loss. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt that, as my almost 70-year-old father just put it to me in a text message, Dame is a true bucket. Yes, that's true. And I don't know when my 70-year-old father got so cool that he knows how to talk like that. But I mean, There's still only one basketball, and Chris Middleton needs shots, and Giannis needs shots, and now you have put an unknown variable into that equation. So I'm color me skeptical for now.
It's funny because, you know, the season's guessing game or the offseason guessing game was going to be whether Craig Counsell comes back as manager of the Brewers. And we're talking like that even as they're just getting set to start a playoff run. So we're just throwing all kinds of question marks into the Wisconsin sports world nowadays.
Per usual, what a great time to be a Wisconsin sports fan with Giannis and the Bucks, the Brewers NL Division champs, NL Central Division champs, and the Packers under the steady hand of Jordan Love, which we all knew. There was no
never
questions,
doubted.
No doubts
never doubt
about Jordan Love tied for first place in the NFC North division.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's go.
This has been good. All right. We hope you enjoyed today's edition of Up North News Radio Sports Talk. Let's get back to the news and the politics. And you can't do that without following up on Paul Ryan's comments made in Madison this week that if his party were to nominate former President Donald Trump, he predicts that they would lose, and he did not have kind things to say about the current Republican extremists who are looking to force a government shutdown, to which yesterday, when I first saw this, folks know that my first reaction was along the lines of, you know, hey, pal, look in a mirror. Look at who created all of this mess. But what were did you have your own thoughts when you
I did
heard about
I did
Paul Ryan's
I do.
Remarks?
I did and I do. I've, all right. Paul Ryan is occupied more space in my brain in my life than I ever anticipated. Going back to, of course, even before in 2012, when I was working for the Obama campaign, I was the director of communications right here in the great state of Wisconsin at the moment that Mr. Ryan was selected to be Mitt Romney's vice presidential nominee, which was, of course, really changed that job for me and changed the way that the last few months of that campaign went. And I start there for a reason, which is among the things that were said by Mr. Ryan this week, one glaring omission jumps out, which is that in the wake of Mitt Romney announcing his retirement from the United States Senate last week, it was reported for the first time that Paul Ryan was among those who called Mitt Romney and urged him not to vote to remove Donald Trump during impeachment. I would really like to hear an explanation from Mr. Ryan as to why he thought that was the right course of action, because given what he said this week, which I agree with, and I am glad to see prominent Republicans saying, I don't, you know, good for Paul Ryan for saying that now, but I would like to see a little bit more introspection and reflection on what changed, because where we are now is there's an awful lot of Republicans who made choices in the past that are the reason Donald Trump is where he is today. And it sounds like among the people who made those kinds of choices, because I don't think that it's possible that if Paul Ryan was someone who was calling around trying to stop the removal of Donald Trump, I don't think it's even passes the smell test that Mitt Romney was the only person he called. For example, we've also seen that Mike Gallagher was recently, what I would say, outed by a former fellow member of Congress, Adam Kinzinger, who, while he was here in Wisconsin, said Mike Gallagher was prepared to vote for impeachment of Donald Trump. And for some reason, he pulled back at the last minute. I'd like to know if Paul Ryan called him. I'd like to know what in the world changed between February of 2021, where Paul Ryan thought this is not the right decision to make, and today, where he sees the truth, which is Donald Trump is destroying the Republican Party. I wish we'd had that opportunity, but
right.
Now he's flown back to New York or wherever he works for Fox News. And, you know, we might not get another chance to ask him that.
Especially from the party that used to bill itself as the law and order party, not holding accountable the person who incited an insurrection against the country and tried to overturn the election. And that leads me to following up on a point from last week, and that would be with Bob Menendez. As you know, I expressed, you know, some concern that Democrats might pull their punches and in doing so, you know, lose the high ground on insisting that Trump be held accountable. So I was quite happy on Tuesday to see Cory Booker, Tammy Baldwin, and others make very clear that whatever their thoughts on him as a colleague, that he cannot serve. He needs to resign. And which lets me turn again to your Paul Ryans and your Mike Gallagher's and others and say, ball's in your court, guys.
Yeah, these two parties are not the same, right? Democrats police their own and are not standing for violations of the public trust at minimum, right? You know, what else Bob Menendez is guilty of will be determined by a court of law, but it certainly looks like he cannot serve the people he represents and he cannot serve effectively in the United States Senate. And so Democrats are saying, you got to go, Bob. And we don't see that from the other side. We don't see that from Republicans, despite the fact that Donald Trump is facing 91 felony convictions, right? We don't see the outrage for the either skirting the law or outright breaking the law when Donald Trump, you know, suggests he wants to buy a firearm while he is facing 91 felony counts, which, by the way, it would have been illegal for him to purchase that Glock he was checking out at the gun show in South Carolina this weekend. And for conservatives to not care about that, while at the same time caring a whole heck of a lot about Hunter Biden, you know, maybe, well, clearly lying when it came time to fill out some paperwork associated with purchasing a handgun, there is an inconsistency to Republican elected officials and Republican leaders that it just becomes more and more apparent by the day. The two political parties are not the same. And so the next time your friends go, ah, why should I vote? The two parties are both corrupt. They're both bad. No, they're not. One party gives a rip and polices its own. The other party does not.
And this is primarily just on the political crimes of Donald Trump, you know, overturning elections, stealing nuclear secrets, you know, trying to intimidate state elections officials. But then you've got a court this week basically saying we don't even need to have a trial. It's so obvious that he and his sons have been running a corrupt business. Joe, you and I are old enough to remember when that would have ended anybody's political career.
Oh, yeah.
Today we call it Thursday.
The voice I keep hearing in my head. So for those who haven't seen, so this is for years, it was the practice of the Trump Organization to inflate the value of assets when it came time to take out loans and to deflate the assessed value of assets when it was time to pay taxes, otherwise known as theft, right?
Yep.
You know, if you own a $150,000 home, it would be really, really great if the bank thought you owned a $500,000 home, because then they would extend you a bunch of credit and you could get a little bit more liquid, right? And when your property tax bill comes in on that $150,000 home, there's probably times in your life where you think, man, I really wish this house was valued at $75,000 instead of $150,000. That's not the way it works. And the fact that the Trump family, led by Donald, with apparently the knucklehead boys, Don Jr. and Eric, up to their eyeballs in it as well, misstated the value of these properties and these assets. And by the way, in their case, we're not talking about the difference between $75,000 and $150,000.
No.
We're talking about tens of millions of dollars. That is a crime. It is exactly the kind of thing that in the past, in the normal times, no Republican would countenance. No one would stand for it and continue to defend someone who is indefensible for their conduct and their actions and their choices, going back to well before he entered politics, is what we're learning through this decision. But right up until, you know, the final weeks of his presidency has demonstrated time and time again, he is not fit to serve. He doesn't have the character. He doesn't have the temperament or the judgment.
And then there's the other wrinkle that came out of all of this as Trump in his depositions was talking about, you know, putting value on his properties. And in so many words said, well, basically it's worth whatever, you know, the Saudis will pay for it. And so, of course, it's worth a lot because the Saudis are willing to pay a lot, which is, if you don't speak political ease, is political ease for the Saudis could bribe me with as much money as I ask for. He just up and admits that.
The Saudis who gave his son-in-law $2 billion to run a hedge fund or a wealth fund of some point. Like, yeah, I mean, there's probably not a lot of assets in the world that are worth $2 billion. And Jared Kushner certainly didn't have any when they backed up the Brinks truck for him. So if they'll give $2 billion to Jared Kushner on a shady deal, yeah, I guess Donald Trump, I mean, it's not like totally crazy that Donald Trump was like, well, I'll just ask them to pay that and then they will because they own me. It complicates the fact of the matter. And the facts of the matter are Donald Trump lied to the U.S. government to avoid paying taxes. And he lied to financial institutions to get credit that it turns out he was not entitled to or should not have been entitled to.
Since we, I won't get a chance to talk to Kia Vakil tomorrow, so I was glad we could cover some of these national things. Let me get to one state-based thing. In other words, back to our regular Joe Zepecki programming. In mentioning that the Joint Finance Committee in the legislature, on a party line vote, approved the Republicans' new tax cut plan, which looks an awful lot like the Republicans' old tax plan that Governor Evers vetoed. This is just my way of saying not really much has happened in the legislature this week, and that if this is what they're still working on, you said last week maybe at some point there's a deal on multiple things, but there sure doesn't seem to be any strong indications that that's happening, at least in the very near future.
No, and part of the problem here, and anybody who's got a kid who's, you know, in high school or college right now, deadlines and due dates really have a way of focusing the mind. And that's not just about high school and college students. It's about legislators as well. And so the fact that you have four pretty big ticket items out there between a tax cut, childcare, the UW engineering building, and a stadium deal, but none of those have a clock that is ticking down to zero, mean there's a little less urgency. But I have no doubt that some type of negotiations are happening behind the scenes to try and figure out who's going to get what and how all four of those issues will in some way, shape, or form be addressed in this legislative session.
Which I'm going to boldly predict will happen next week, because I won't be here. And therefore all the fun stuff happens. And it's like, I'm going to hear about it, from afar, from, my recliner, wherever I'm sitting, and go, oh, of course, because I'm off. But we will talk about it either the following week or whenever it happens, Joe Zepecki. And we'll find out more about the Bucks trade and also where the Brewers sit in the postseason by the time we get together next. Thank you so much. As always, talk to you again soon.
Go Packers, go Brewers, go Bucks.
Hey, and since I won't be here tomorrow, so Mark Jacob won't be able to join us, I want to recommend to you his new column over at couriernewsroom.com. It's called 6 Toxic Attitudes That Could Kill Democracy. He addresses things like, it's just politics, or all politicians lie, or MAGA doesn't scare me, there are more of us than them, or our politics are self-correcting. Those aren't all necessarily true in this day and age. So again, couriernewsroom.com, and look at the latest by Mark Jacob. All right, today's history lesson and music break coming up next. You're up north.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, it was Sam's first day flying solo because Aaron said he was going bear hunting. Aaron's not here this morning.
He's
so
not.
It's either Aaron doesn't need to be here or Aaron's been eaten by a bear.
Gosh, I'd sure hope that Aaron hasn't been eaten by a bear.
Well, he's not there. Now I'm just afraid that if we ring up his phone somewhere out there, Mrs. Bear is going to elbow Mr. Bear and go, is your tummy rumbling?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes, Melissa. That was like 12 years ago. What do you think the hangup is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out of touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with highs around 68. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows dip down to about 56. More clouds than sun tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 74. Upper 70s Saturday with a chance for scattered storms. Low 80s. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 59.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
This, of course, is Benny King, who was born this day in 1938. He was in the Drifters before going solo and having the hit Stand By Me, later featured in a movie, passed away in 2015, kicking off our history lesson and music break. I was so close to kicking off this segment with Nikki Blonsky singing Good Morning Baltimore from the movie Hairspray, so that we could welcome in Kristen Lyerly by singing Good Morning Omaha, which I think is where you are now.
I'm in Omaha. Yes.
What do you?
I had the best steak of my life last night. It was fantastic.
Of course, Omaha steaks. You know, that makes total sense. Good steak, huh?
It was a great steak, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here for a regional meeting of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. So it's OBGYN doctors from all over the upper Midwest, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Peru. And we all come together to talk about how we can take better care of our patients.
I don't know a lot about Peru, but I'm betting anybody there from Peru took issue with your steak comment, because they're pretty proud down there in South America of their steak hotspots as well. Of course, they also eat guinea pigs in Peru, but that's a story for another time.
Tomorrow. They'll be there tomorrow. They were not there last night, okay. But we'll get into it.
All right. Back to the history here. On this day in 1991, Garth Brooks' album, Rope in the Wind, became the first country album to debut at number one on the Billboard 200 chart with tracks like The River and the Billy Joel song, Shameless.
I never lost anything I ever missed, but I've never been in love like this.
I wish I could do karaoke like this.
That's a Billy Joel song? I had no idea.
Yeah. I didn't know either until I got one of Billy Joel's greatest hits albums or something. It was just all songs that he had written. And I had to double check. I'm like, yeah. And Garth Brooks said that he had heard it, you know, early on. It didn't go as high up the charts, obviously. And he really wanted to do a country version of it. And he completely owns it, you know. And Billy Joel says so. You know, takes a song like that and just, you can't do anything more with that. William the Conqueror landed in England this day in 1066, beginning the Norman conquest. I bring that up for no reason other than 1066 seems to show up on every kid's history test at some point. And so there it is. William the Conqueror landing in England.
I always wonder, like, how exactly did they pinpoint it back to this very day from back in 1066? Like, that was a long time ago. Who kept records?
It's like they don't keep diaries and journals and things. There's plenty of that out there, you know?
Yeah, it seems shaky.
It's actually why I don't grab a lot of them, but I know 1066 comes up in all these history classes. We're in baseball season here, and it was on this day in 1941 that Ted Williams finished the season with a .406 batting average, the last major league player to bat .400 or better. I know as a kid I watched Rod Carew come really close a couple of times in the 1970s, but you know, you're not going to see that kind of hitting anymore. At least we don't think so anyway. Are you a fan of the Pitch Perfect movies, Kristen?
Sam?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a super fan, but yeah, I like him.
Okay. Sam, are you a Closet fan? You just don't talk enough about
I've never seen him, actually.
You've never seen the Pitch Perfect movies? Mm-mm. Anna Kendrick and the others? I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I would never have seen them either if I didn't have daughters who liked them so much. But anyway,
And to be fair, a lot of people in Green Bay watched it because of David Bakhtiari.
But was that the first one? I think that was Pitch Perfect 2, right? Yes, it was number 2. But anyway, the first movie premiered this day in 2012 about an underdog collegiate a cappella singing group with Anna Kendrick being introduced to many folks for this little ditty called Cups.
I got my ticket for the long way round, to buy the whiskey for the way, and I sure would like some sweet company, and I'm leaving tomorrow, what do you say?
More birthdays here on this September 28th. Seymour Cray, the founder of Cray Supercomputers here in Chippewa Falls, was born this day in 1925. Janine Garofalo is 59 today. Mira Sorvina, 46. Hilary Duff is 36 years old today. I'm sure people still think of her as a young actress working on Disney Channel. And it was on this day in 1974 that the number one song came from Andy Kim.
Rock me gently, rock me slowly.
And yes, Kristen is swaying as much as you expect she would be. And she would be shouting, baby, baby.
That's such a good song.
If they had taken the movie Wayne's World, and you know how they're singing Bohemian Rhapsody in the car? They could have just as easily, mm-hmm. if they'd have said it a few years earlier, they could have put this in here and all the guys in the car are screaming out, rock me gently. I know, it's not the same as...
a kinder, gentler version of Wayne's World.
There you go, yes. And finally, it was on this day in 1983 that season 2 of Family Ties premiered on NBC. And you go, well, what's so special about season 2 premiering, Pat? Well, it's because they changed the theme song around. And the theme song from that time on, starting this day in 1983, was performed by Johnny Mathis and Denise Williams and Pat Kreitlow and Kristen Lyerly.
Without her, what will we do, baby?
Hit those high notes, Kristen.
I can't.
I will then. Oh, no. Nope. Turns out I can't do it either, but we can do this part.
Sha-la-la-la.
And that's why we are not professional jingle singers by any stretch of the imagination. But it was a cute little ditty.
I like it.
Were you a Family Ties watcher at all? Michael J. Fox and all of that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you specific episodes, but I feel like that is something that was part of all of our culture. We all knew who Alex P. Keaton was.
Yes, it was. And I use the example a lot because just as people maybe mistakenly thought that All in the Family, if you show off Archie Bunker enough, people will be ashamed of their racism and it'll get rid of it. And of course it didn't. It simply made it funny. In much the same way, when I look at a lot of Generation X, my generation, and go, what is it with you people? How did you buy into the whole Reaganomics thing? They look at Alex P. Keaton and they go, oh, yeah, that's mm-hmm. The writers, again, in the same vein, were basically mocking that Reagan view. But a lot of people saw it and go, oh, yeah, that's funny. That's smart. And they kind of ran with it, unfortunately. And we'll keep paying that price for a while. Look how I can take even something like as innocent as a family sitcom and run it into the ground politically.
It's a gift.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I know a friend of yours has already logged on for our next segment, Top of the Hour. Ann Helms has written an op-ed in the Wisconsin Examiner, raising a good point. A lot of employers don't really like their doctors speaking out. It's what makes you kind of a unicorn out there, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't have an employer. I'm an independent contractor, and that mm-hmm. gives me the freedom to be able to speak out. But most of my colleagues are not in that mm-hmm. situation. So Dr. Helms is going to talk a little bit more about that.
Freedom to speak out and freedom to sing. More after 7 o'clock. You're up north.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Jordan Love was 15 for 27 for 245 yards and 3 TDs against a JV team.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't like Chicago, but I ain't going to call them a JV team. They suck, but it's a slap in the face. Okay. I'm laughing at y'all Bear fans.
I know, man.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I-